You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hi, Nicole, you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm not so bad. How are you going today?
I'm good, thank you.
Cool. So, first up, Peter Dutton just received a promotion by the Prime Minister, who has placed him in charge of a new collective of security and intelligence agencies. Before we get into that, and before we get into Peter Dutton, sorry, do you think you can tell us a bit about this new Home Affairs Department and how it differs from the current systems?
Yeah, so this has really been a dramatic restructure of our security and intelligence agencies because it's becoming basically a super portfolio, so that they're connecting all the agencies together, including things like ASIO, AFP, the Border Force, the Criminal Intelligence Commission, and other things. And so this is the first time that one minister will be responsible for those agencies. So this minister will be focused solely on matters of intelligence and counter-terrorism, which is traditionally a role that has had shared responsibility amongst a number of ministers. And so there's, you know, concerns about giving so much power to one person and how to keep these agencies in check.
Mm. And so just so we can get a bigger idea about the implications of putting him in charge, can you tell me a bit about who Peter Dutton is, and what his position was before this and what are his sort of political beliefs?
Yeah, so he is the immigration minister and he's about to become this new Home Affairs minister. So he will still have a cabinet spot, but he'll basically have a much bigger portfolio. And he's traditionally one of the more conservative members of the Liberal Party, which is the Conservative Party, but he's, you know, further on the right than some others in the party.
Mm.
And he'll be supported by two other ministers working on security and immigration, Michael Keenan and George Brandis.
Okay, and how has this move sort of been received by the public and the media?
It has been mixed, to say the least. There's, you know, questions about how to keep the agencies in check. And as I said before, giving so much power to one person, I mean, I think people are apprehensive that you'll get like a US-style Department of Homeland Security.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, not the practice in Australia to put so much energy into creating a super portfolio for all of these things. I think that we have kind of taken pride in the fact that we've been more measured and we've kind of distributed power more evenly, I guess. It's been a mixed reception for sure.
Yeah, so do you think it may be sort of a political move where it's sort of like, oh, well, we're in troubling times at the moment with the likes of terrorism and sort of we need to have these sort of like ends justify as means sort of measures by putting one person in charge of such a important organisation?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all of those things. I think that it's a political move in the sense that it plays on people's fear. You know, you want to feel protected and safe in the country you live in. And there is, a large part of politics that thinks that it's, you know, justified to do things like this because they say, well, we have intelligence that shows that, you know, we are at risk and all these other countries do it, so we should do it too. And then it's kind of just a cycle, just, you know, these powers kind of increase incrementally over time and it's kind of worrying and scary, but they say that it's justified and then the public feels that they have a reason to be scared and so it just keeps going on.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on to the Greens resigning over dual citizenship. So two members of the Green Party, Deputy Leader Larissa Waters and former Western Australian Senator Scott Ludlam, have both resigned after realising they have dual citizenship. Why is having dual citizenship something that an MP needs to resign over?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I learned about this provision in the Constitution this week because of all of this Greens news. There's a provision in Section 44 that basically says that people can be disqualified from Parliament if they're a citizen to a foreign power. And it's really a fairly strict rule, especially considering that in Waters' case, she hadn't visited Canada since she left as a baby and thought she'd been naturalised in Australia. And I think in Ludlam's case, he thought that he'd been naturalised as a teenager, so he didn't really have that strong connection to New Zealand anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's not like they're spies or anything. So do you think there's a sort of like a need to change these laws?
Yeah, I think that it is a bit of an archaic law. And yeah, as you said, it kind of is reminiscent of like the fears about spies and things like that. I mean, yeah, both, and especially, yeah, Canada and New Zealand, close allies with Australia, I mean, especially New Zealand, you'd think that, you know, disqualifying these people and then having to fill the vacancies and all the resources that are going to go into this don't seem worth it. And a lot of people, you know, really like these senators, and there were Greens members, so it was nice to have a bit of a balance between the two parties, the two-party system ordinarily, and having some Greens voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you think these resignations are going to affect the Green Party as a whole?
I think that one of the people will likely be replaced by the Greens, because what the Electoral Commission does is, you know, run the count to figure out who the next person elected would have been if their names weren't on the ballot. And I think they worked out that it's most likely that one of them will be replaced by a Green member and the other one will be a Democrat. So it just means that the, you know, the small amount of power that the Greens did have, it will just be weakened slightly.
Hmm. All right, well, moving on to the Indigenous Rock Shelter, which revealed human life in Australia was there 18,000 years earlier than thought. So a recent archaeological discovery has revealed that an Indigenous rock shelter is one of the world's most important archaeological sites. Can you tell me a bit about this discovery?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a rock shelter near Kakadu National Park called Madjabib, and it basically shows that humans reached Australia earlier than we thought. The shelter isn't a new find. It's been something that many scientists already accepted was home to the earliest evidence of humans in Australia. But what's new is the way that they're able to date sediments at the site. And so this finding, yeah, basically confirmed that it's one of the most significant sites in the world. And it is also going to tell us a lot about our understanding of when humans left Africa and moved through what is now Southeast Asia. And another good thing about it, I guess, is that the Mira people have a right to veto the excavation at any time. So there's this agreement now that says they can control the artifacts and have a final say about the findings announced at the site. So that's really good to hear. And yeah, it's just a really great find, and it's good that they're doing it the right way and not the way that perhaps people did in the past without consulting the traditional owners. So yeah, nice story.
Yeah, and there's like quite a lot of communication and collaboration with Indigenous communities, which is very sort of important, I guess, when you're sort of unearthing their history. Have these discoveries sort of challenged the way that people are seeing the country, and they're realizing that, like, wow, these people have been here for 18,000 years longer than I thought that they were here? Has it sort of like influenced anyone's perspectives, do you think?
I think it does. I mean, I was at Radio Adelaide yesterday, and people were talking about it, and it does challenge your perspectives and kind of makes you realise that you might take for granted how much history your country has. I mean, I don't know if it's the same for you in New Zealand, but I guess when you see kind of, you know, really these monumental structures like around the world, you think, you know, you're kind of envious and you think, wow, this is great, but then you realise you have so much at home. You know, there's these amazing paintings, and the fact that they found these really, really ancient fireplaces and where people used to live, like, it's really cool. So yeah, it's a nice discovery for sure.
Yeah, pre-colonial history is definitely a very important thing that's often overlooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on the show today. I'll talk to you next week. I hope you have a lovely day.
You too. Speak to you then.
Sweet. See you later.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.